Moose,
who else could we have for our first guest? Do you know what I mean? Fighting out of Manchester, all dressed in black, ready to have it.
Got a memo, yeah. Everyone texted each other this morning saying, wearing black, yeah.
Black trout.
Right, Steve.
All right.
What have you got for us,
mate? You might have to sit a little bit further forward.
Oh, am I in now?
You're in now. Pretty good timing.
Yeah, yeah.
Coincidental timing.
Yeah.
We just had a fight announced, haven't we?
We have.
Who are you fighting? What's the plan? And you're on the road again.
So we're on the road again. We've had an opponent put forward to us, a guy called, it might not get the pronunciation of it right, it's Daniel Schittazzi from Italy, fighting him in Milan. You know, Bellator put this opportunity in front of me, even though, you know, there was talks of another opponent coming up at the time. Bellator put this fight in front of me and, yeah, we took it, man. It's good. It's good times.
Before we get into that, I just forgot. We have got a quick little read to do. We are sponsored by the good folks at BetBull. And if you would like to come and follow us on BetBull, the link is in the description. Search for MMA Latest. And Friday, you can get all of our picks and our Akka for the weekend and see if you can come and get it. Last weekend, I wasn't so good. The week before, I got 5 out of 5.
Wow.
Not too bad. I went with a little bit of value last week. I went with
Perry. That plugs and all that
Perry,
already.
Perry got his absolute
messing about with it.
Hey, so fighting in Milan then, that's going to be different, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be different. It's going to be, I said it on my Instagram yesterday, you know, fighting somewhere like Milan, somewhere, it's like a dream as a young kid. You know, you see the sport of MMA, you see all these fighters, all these shows being announced all over the world, and you just think to yourself, look, I'd love to travel and experience and go somewhere different.
What's up with Victoria Warehouse?
Victoria Warehouse, it's not wrong with it. That's where we started. Yeah. That's home. We've done that, but obviously we have to grow and elevate, so... You know, shout out to Victoria Warehouse as well. We plugged them in as well.
Here's a man for you. How about... We've got the same coach.
Yeah.
I fight in Las Vegas on the day before.
Direct
flight.
Tony's got to go from Vegas to Milan.
Straight in.
Don't feel sorry for him.
He's getting paid. Don't worry about him. Don't worry. He's having the best time of his life traveling the world. You're joking. He used to go on Platfields Park, mate. And,
so you're the Friday night?
I'm on the Friday.
And you're the Saturday night?
He's on the Friday. I'm on the Saturday, yeah.
No, I'm on a Thursday.
Oh, yours is Thursday?
You must be a Friday, yeah.
Is it? Check that out.
Maybe because of the way the time zones of it,
yeah, it'll be different, yeah.
But mine's
is Saturday anyway. Mine's is the 12th, but it's just time zone.
What's great about this situation more than anything else is that we both get to camp at the same time. There's nothing worse than when I'm in camp and he's not, and he's in camp and I'm not, because you need someone with you every day, mate. Honestly, like... The way it is now, you get so tired, so drained, we'll ring each other and go, how do you feel after that one?
Dead.
Not very
dead.
Good. How do you feel after that one? Oh, you're missing this one today. And we'll make each other feel bad. It's that like accountability of, are you going to be there? Even if we're not there, I'm going to be there. But it's just so much better having someone go through this pain with you. Tell them how much better
it
is.
It's dark. It's dark. Listen, don't forget about it. Think about it, right? We've been doing this for how many years now? We've been smashing through opponents. We've been smashing through different promotions. We've been on so many different promotions together. And when we used to start, when I was released and we got out and we were doing the FCC cards, we were smashing them together. Then we followed up onto the Bama cards, we were smashing them together. And obviously our careers have took little bits of different direction. But once again now, we're back fighting. Coincidentally, like he said, we're fighting. He's fighting the day before me. And I'm fighting the day after, so, and it's for like, you know, two of the biggest promotions in the world. So it's good because
it's a good time to be alive.
It's a good time to be alive, but it's also a good time to have somebody going through the thick of a fight camp with you. Do you know what I mean? Just because these fight camps get hard, mate. People don't understand.
We literally had a 20-minute phone call last night. I was in the bath, in a hot bath.
Yeah.
He's at home. He's depressed.
Struggling.
How are we going to do this for the
struggling away? Oh,
no,
just dark times.
My thing's not weight. Mine's not weight. I'm staying at lightweight. I am the smallest lightweight on earth, and that's actually a fact. Probably at this level.
Who was you looking at a second ago? One of them crazy Dagestanis. Which one?
All of them, Khabib, mate, they're all just...
Yeah, they're all massive.
How's he 145?
Yeah, yeah. It's insane. But you know what? I've always said to him, he comes, but 145, he went there, didn't enjoy it, didn't perform the way he wants to perform, and he's never not performed at lightweight, so it's like...
The Frankie Edgar thing, didn't it? Yeah. Like, he doesn't like the cut, he'd rather walk in healthy, because I think that weight cut murders you, man.
Of course it does.
No other sport in the world, imagine any like elite footballers, elite rugby players, like, hey, listen, the day before, what we're going to do is going to put you through absolute hell.
We're going to sit you in a sauna,
yeah.
We're going to starve you.
Yeah. all week.
No one's even talking about this.
Hey, no, I am because nobody don't actually understand the reality of MMA and the reality of cutting weight, how much it actually impacts your whole life in terms of when you have to cut the carbs down the week before the fight. And in Brendan's cases, sometimes he's, you know, when he first went dropped down, he, you know, when the nutrition advice wasn't as sharp as what it is now, he was cutting carbs for like, he was on low carbs for like 8 weeks, doing a full fight camp training twice a day. Do you understand what I mean? And the carbohydrates provide the brain with certain nutrients that you need for processing day to day recovery,
let alone fighting.
Exactly. And then obviously then you've got the weight cut itself, which is, you know, sitting in a bath or in a sauna and sweating probably half a stone the day before.
Tell them about the day. We've got a funny story about a weight cut one time. So we used to always do the weight cuts at my mum's house. It was just like our thing, like, right, we'll go with my mum's, we'll heat the bath up, towels on the floor, then we'll switch from one to the other. So what happens is, we did a bath the day before now, so we're both like, right, we're drained. And we're sharing a bed. He's on that side, I'm on that side, right? We're both dying now. We're not sleeping.
That's it.
Nobody's sleeping during a weight cut. Anybody says they are, is lying. You're always ringing your mate who's cutting weight with you, because there's always someone you know in the car. How are you feeling? I'm dead as well. So we're in this bed, yeah? We've both got, like, I don't know, another 2 kg to cut the next day. We're both like, right. He goes, maybe we could have some.
We're starving at this point. We're starving. What I'm saying to you, we've not had no food for over 24 hours. We've not drank water for about 12 hours.
This was FCC.
I think I was fighting Mikey Castell. Was it? No, it was Mikey Castell, I think it was. So it might have been my second one. But yeah, and we're cutting this weight and it's dark. Yeah, we're in a dark room as well. His bedroom's dark. Yeah, we've not ate for 24 hours, not drank water for 12 hours. We're dehydrated. And I sat there and I just had a little epiphany. I thought, you know what? We might be able to get away with having something to eat, you know? And he's got that look with the desperation in his eyes. Look how he looked at me. He went, you think, yeah? I've gone, yeah. He's gone, what are you thinking? I've gone, probably get away with a grape, you know?
I went, nah, don't say that.
This is the reality. This is what I'm trying.
We went to the fridge, got one grape each, and that grape lasted 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And it was the most, peel it and shit.
Biting a quarter of the grape.
But then he wanted to get another one. I was like, come on now. Don't get carried away. Don't
I swear to God, that's how bad it got. I'm saying, nah, you know what? I could probably get away with one more. He's like, nah, I think
come
we're pushing
on,
it.
Don't be silly now.
So that's what I'm saying.
That's how dark it gets, by the way.
That's what level. And that's the day before the weigh-in. And that's obviously 2 days before you're fighting. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the weight cut process is something that, for me as a fighter, I've identified through experience that I'm not willing to go that low.
Yeah.
Because for based on my body type, I believe my body type is not a body type that can perform at that level. Yeah.
We're both two totally different fighters as well. Yeah. Like I prefer to be on the foot, moving around, energy. He's more of a grab hold of you, suck the life out of your kind of fight. Yeah. So
you're quite powerfully built.
Yeah,
as well.
I don't think
that you probably could cut quite a lot of weight because you're quite stacked. But
I can cut the So this is the thing. I can actually make the weight.
Yeah.
But it's the performance because remember we fought. Who did we fight? Robert Whiteford. Yeah. I called him out. I had to make the weight, which was featherweight. Me and Brendan had had a heated debate one night when he was when he was cutting weight, but he was doing it. It was a dark time.
No, but I was stupid. I just didn't eat for 6 weeks.
He didn't eat for six weeks. Boiled eggs.
It was the dark. Like, I didn't understand about nutrition. I just got told you've got to make weight, and I just didn't know how to do it, so I just didn't eat. And there was even times I was that stupid. I wouldn't drink water because the scales would go up. I know it's absolutely
crazy, but obviously, but what you got to understand is about me and him is one thing you've got to understand, and no one can ever take this away from the pair of us. Yeah, and even virtually anyone that's trained and come up from after us within the team, we've never missed weight. We don't miss weight. Yeah, we never ever miss weight. We're true professionals in the respect of we will get on them scales and we're going to make this weight. I don't care what weight it is. Mm. And with the Robert Whiteford, I got to the weight. You know, I got it. It was a struggle. It was tough.
Not that bad.
I know, but what I'm saying is it was because I had Dan Hendrick on board as well.
Yeah,
he's a great nutritionist. He was on board with me. But when I got to the weight, I was all right. on the cut, doing the cut, but it was the 8 weeks of strict diet. Like now at lightweight, I can get away. I can have a cappuccino with hazelnut and a bit of salt. Do you know what I mean? I can get away with it, but that's them times there. This is a treat, this major people. This is
I can't
a treat,
even look at that without putting calories on.
So that time there, I got
to 170 as well.
I thought 170 when I got out of jail.
Oh, we should have a picture of it.
I was lifting. Listen, I was in jail lifting big weight.
Prison body.
Landed out.
I went to visit him,
I was on a home leave, from prison.
On a home leave?
Yeah, I fought on a home leave.
Is that even allowed?
They don't know about this one. So basically what happened was, I had a home leave. I had one home leave one day. And obviously when I was in prison, I was speaking to Brendan all the time. I'm saying to him, listen, when I get out, me and you are going to smash it. Yeah. He was already smashing it. He's phoning me when I'm in my prison cell. He's phoning me like, lad, I've just smashed this kid up. I've just done this. I'm out. I'm partying ourselves. And he was my motivation to keep me going whilst I was in prison. Because whilst I was in prison, it's very easy to lose your motivation and lose, the vision of your goal for when you get in there. So I stuck with it. And when I got out, I must have been in Sudbury. I was in DCAT. I got a home leave. And I've said to Brendan, right, let's go to... He said, no, I'll take you to FCC. It's a sick show. Come and have a look. But listen, when I got locked up, we were fighting in leisure centres, mate.
I know. We're fighting
So 4.5 years
at
later.
Clash of Warriors.
Yeah, that's where we...
It was coming up from them days.
Fucking hell.
So when I've landed out now... when I landed out, I've gone... Come to this FCC and it's in Bolton Macron Stadium. It's all glitzy, glamoury and all that. I'm saying, bro... I need to get on this show. So he's gone, sweet, I'll speak to the promoter, Adam Tay. Shout out to Adam. Brendan spoke to him and said, listen, lad, I can get you a fight. Yeah. But what's the date? And I've gone, well, tell me what the date is. And he told me the date and it was 3 days before I was actually released from prison. So what I did was I booked a home leave from prison for that date. Yeah. I booked a home leave for that date. Did a fight camp whilst I was working out in Fitness First.
True story.
Yeah, this is true story. Andre Winner, all them guys will confirm it. Wayne Kirk, they all know. Judo Jimmy Warled. I was training, going on my way to the work as a PT. I was stopping off at Fourth Dimension, training, going to do my PT work at the gym, then going back to prison. And I did that for 8 weeks. And then the fight comes. So all the promos going on for the fight and all that. I'm just in prison. Like, yeah. Home leave, boom. Must have got out, went on the home leave and smashed the kid up. Yeah, and then I went back to prison on the Sunday.
Could you imagine that?
Went back to prison on the Sunday with a little tiny bruise in that. Yeah, they're like, oh, what's up, Moose? What's I said, oh, you know, just been training with Brendan and that, it's all right. So we got away with it. So yeah, we had the fight on the home league. But that fight, was 77 kilograms. I was a welterweight then. Yeah, if anyone gets time, go and have a look at that fight. It was K Musa versus Danny T. Joel, on YouTube. And you'll see the size of me, mate. I was just trying to get rid of all that prison weight. Remember when you come up when I was
they probably like got to be the only person that's ever fought on a home leave and then instead of going to the after party, going back to jail.
Went back to jail now.
Went back to jail with my Samsung, check this, stuck it down my balls, went through the check, and then when I've got on the back on the billets and all that, I'm like, to everyone, y'all check my fight. Showing everyone the fight on the thingy. So
wow.
Yeah, man, it's been a mad journey. And everything's true stories. Everything we say, everything's true story, man. So yeah, that's why when we're talking about this, the journey we're at now at this point, don't forget that's been what, 5-6 years I've been out now.
Yeah.
And we've stayed consistent throughout. Yeah. He'd done 4 years on top of that. So he's done an extra 4 years of grinding on top of what I've done. Yeah, so, you know, it takes its toll. But the only thing is about us is we're hungry, man.
One thing you won't see us do, no matter what, is quit.
Never.
Like, you might see us lose. And then even when that happens, it's like, oh, but you'll never, ever see any ounce of quit.
Never.
Ever. You've seen arms hanging off where he's nearly had his arm broke. You've seen my eye hanging off. You've seen all type of things. But it's one thing that we were brought up on from Mossad Ground and Pound, Danny Rams, and our
the real days.
So was like, you better not quit, lad, no matter what. And well, it's something you can always accept.
Someone's always going to be better.
Of course. Yeah. I've got no issue with that. Yeah.
That's just normal, isn't it?
Yeah. I've got no issue
got
with
to
that.
Be able to step up and go.
My thing is, and our thing is, like, phew, a great example for people. These are references that I want people to go back at and have a look at. Yeah, like a great example is, if you ever watched Brendan's fight against Pat Healy, mate, that fight was the deepest waters I was in his corner.
ACB, that?
Yeah, ACB. Yeah, yeah. That was a dark, that was a deep fight against a really high level experienced guy who's fought Khabib. Yeah, who's gone distance with Khabib and done all that. Yeah.
That was split decision loss.
Yeah, well, yes. That was the only time in my career I can actually say I thought about quitting. It actually entered my mind.
Yeah, but the thing is with me is he didn't, and I seen, I actually know, because I'm so in tune with him, I actually could see the actual point when he actually considered it.
And in the fight or like?
This was in the fight.
It was the third round. I got down against the fence. I'll never forget it. I've gone down, boom. And don't forget, I'd give up 10 kilo in this fight.
Yeah,
so I've been a 10 kilo experienced guy. The only guy to win a round against Khabib in the UFC still is this Pat Healy, yeah? So I'm down and I'm underneath him. And I'm like, right, have I got it in me to get back up here? And it's the only time I ever thought, if I just rolled over now and let him choke me, I was thinking I wouldn't say anything. I thought, wow, what was that that just hit my head?
Yeah.
Oh, I couldn't believe. But that's the brutal honesty of being like, I'm not going to sit here and say I've never thought about it.
You've got to be real with it, man.
Times have been very dark in that cage, and that was the darkest it's ever got. I've looked at him, I've looked at my corner, I thought.
And he just dug, I just seen him dig deep.
Back up to my feet, come on, boy. It actually entered my mind, and now I know what fighters go through in them times.
And a reference for myself was when I was fighting Lewis Monarch. Not a lot of people know this, is I was ill on the lead up to that fight, yeah? But forget about that anyway. I got into the fight. Got into a scrappy fight. He felt sharp. So I just used my experience and I weathered him against the cage. But what happened was I got into a scramble exchange and he actually literally had my arm, right? And I swear to God, the guy got my arm and it was flat like this. And he's got my arm between his legs and he's pulling my arm. So as he's pulling it now, I could feel the ligaments tearing in my arm. And I was close to the point and I just thought, you know what? I just... dug deep and just pulled through and I got out of it. Then he got me in another one in the third round. He had me on, I had him on his back and I was ground and pounding him. He's grabbed my arm again and the same arm and I could feel the ligaments tearing. I've just looked up and I thought, mate, you're at the MEN, mate. No way in God's name, you'll have to kill me. I just pulled it out, felt all the ligaments tearing and just carried on and got through. So it shows we don't quit, man. We're deep-rooted people who've been through a lot, and that's where it's testament to show when we get into the cage. So, you know.
Talk to me about coming back from that Dear Casey loss.
Oh, yeah, that was a serious one. The Mark fight, that was a fight where... there was a lot of adversity in terms of, you know, there was a lot of hype.
You built it up brilliant.
Amazing.
That the bad blood stuff, the sitting opposite each other, it was fucking brilliant.
Like, yeah, that was obviously that's part of my personality in terms of being an entertainer. I believe, regardless of what, my thing is, we're going to fight. So if somebody wants it in terms of the verbal before it, the build up, I'm down for it because we're going to fight anyway. So it doesn't matter what I say, what goes on. Some people are like, oh, I'm not bothered. I'm not a bully. So if the guy's humble, you won't hear me say a thing about him. I respect my opponent, yeah? But if someone's gassing, giving it the big one, in terms, Mark was ready for it. He was like, he was keen, rare, and I took it as a bit of a disrespect. So we just went at it, and it was great. It led for a great build up to the fight.
It was the people's main event.
Of course, it was.
I think I might have called that phrase.
100%, it was.
A lot went into that fight, and there was a lot behind the scenes that we know about. That wasn't ideal.
Yeah, at the time, there was a lot that I was doing, a lot of extracurricular stuff that I was doing on top of,
our culture, you know, in hospital.
Anthony was there. So my uncle Anthony, he had basically a clot in his groin and he was out for the whole camp. So he was in hospital for the whole camp. So I didn't have him for the whole camp. And I was doing other work at the time. I was on the road a lot, up and down, trying to train for this fight. And I just didn't approach it right. And the top and bottom is the better man won on the night. But what happened was the craziest thing that gets me about this fight is when I've come to my uncle Anthony was on crutches. He'd just come off crutches and it was in the warm up in the back of the room and he's gone. He's hobbled off his chair and he's gone, right, listen, he's going to hit you with the overhand, right? Yeah. So what I need you to do is, I need you to jab and I need you to keep bringing that back, this hand up high. Mate, that was the first time in 4 months. We knew about that fight for 4 months. And this is the difference when people talk about having your team around you. We knew about that fight for 4 months, but that was the first time in 4 months that I drilled that, keeping my hand
in
high.
In the warm-up room.
In the warm-up room before the fight.
I think I filmed that.
Did you?
Yeah, I was in the back. Really? I was chatting to you in the back. I was chatting to someone else in the back.
I wasn't even there. Was like, oh, yeah, you was there. Yeah. I miss you, Alex Enlund.
So I was chatting to you because I was doing some. Yeah, I was doing socials for Sport Bar.
That's right. That's right.
I've gone. The fucking ref said fight. I've gone to post that fight, and I've looked up and gone.
Gone.
Fuck's sake.
But this is what I'm saying about putting everything on the line. Can you imagine, right? The hype that went into that. Same when I thought he'd have millions of people tuning in to watch this back and forth. Uh-huh. I'm putting myself on the line.
That was a great one.
No, but we're putting us, but like.
Was that a tanko?
That was tanko, that, yeah.
And what happened to Kane can happen to me. It can happen to anyone. And this is what you got to get in your head when you get in there. Like, don't be afraid to lose. I shared something on Instagram yesterday with David Goggins. When you try and do something extraordinary, people are just going to sit behind and wait for you to fall. Well, what are they doing with their lives? We're out there fighting the best guys in the world. Trying, mate. We might not always win, but we're fucking having a go.
Listen, I called them out. I called them out. Every big fight that I've had, I've called that person out. Any of them opponents, no. I'm the one that's called them out. Mark Diakite called him out. I asked Jude, can I have the fight? Even though Jude was saying to me, he didn't really want me to have it at the time. Alex Enlund, I called him out. Robert Whiteford, I called him out. I called these guys out, Alex and Rob, after I'd been defeated by Mark. When I got in the Mark fight, I just wasn't there. When I got into the cage, I couldn't lock in. I couldn't tap in. They had me stood a bit cold before I went in, which really, I'm someone that needs to get warm, stay warm.
But one more thing, that is literally taking nothing away from Mark.
You can never take nothing away from Mark.
Looking at him nowadays, he's improved so much. He's flying through the UFC.
He's elevated.
And the guy's really fucking good. Really good.
Listen, I've trained with him. I've trained with him since then. And, as an athlete, he's a proper specimen.
Yeah,
he's a serious fighter. And a great thing about his character as well is that and it's good for me as well because it shows the level of opponent I've been up against. Yeah, exactly. He's felt some adversity in that UFC. He went in there, started blasting everybody out. Then he come up against it. You know, he took a few losses. And now he just fought Joe Duffy.
And the emotion on his face from winning that.
Mate.
From going on 3 losses back to back to back from being this guy.
To not get cut from 3 losses.
To not get cut.
And he gave one more chance. He said, listen, and he gave him a tough fight.
He dug deep.
And you see his expression.
Yeah, they didn't give him a win there.
No, they didn't. That's what I'm saying to you. That was one of them where I've even sat there and thought, fucking hell, come on, Mark. You're gonna have to dig deep for this. And he dug deep. And he is where he is now. So, you know, all the blessings for him moving forward in the sport, man.
Chilling. Are you down at ASW with him every fucking day at the minute as well? Yeah. Are you both doing everything together?
Yeah, I mean,
as much as possible. Yeah.
Our camps are like pretty much the same. You know, we'll be back on the track next week, do a lot of explosive stuff on the track, cams for conditioning and wrestling.
Give us a week then. Right. Is there anything different or is it every day same thing?
No, every day is totally different. Every day, there's not one day the same in our camp.
All right, go on.
For example, Monday, we'll wake up in the morning, we'll go in champs camp first thing in the morning. We're doing a lot of striking technique, bag work, things like that. Monday night, it's a choice of we're either going yoga, we're either going to cams, or we have about 5 options for each day, depending on how the body is. Last night, a really hard one on a Tuesday, for example, is going to the academy wrestling. It's 2 hours and it's very difficult.
Is it the why?
So I had a really hard one in the day, so he didn't, and he went to the hard one at the night. Now he's feeling it. Now I'm okay. Yeah. So, like, you know, we know now. We're with that experience. Just, I've had 32 fights in the cage. I know what to do. He's had a lot of fights as well now. We trust our body.
Yeah.
And we've grown old now. Back in the day, mate, I would have been at an FBR session every day, body like that, dying, not eating nothing, great. and it's just not the way to do it. You know, we know what our body needs now. But the only scary thing is I am actually heavier than him right now.
He's heavier than me.
And he fights at the weight below.
But that's the thing is with me as well. What my thing is I always...
What are you both walking around at?
I'm 76 now.
What's that? I'm around about just above that. Maybe the same.
I'm about 76 key right now.
What's that in pound?
I'm about just under.
He's 170. He's 170. Yeah. I'm around the same. I'm a bit less, bit 68.
Yeah, 77 spawn 70 in it. So yeah.
Yeah. around that. I know it's a long way down, mate, but listen,
nah, he's done it.
Is that normal for you, 155?
Yeah, if you'd say 155 for over 155 fighters, you'd probably say they're walking around
190,
that
185.
190, 185.
Khabib was looking at him before. Whoa. Just going, how's he 150? Because he struggles, doesn't he?
Yeah.
You think.
But my thing is what I love is that I grapple a lot with guys that are like 82 kilograms. I always, when I'm on the mat, I'm always looking for the bigger guys, because I understand that at 155, you're going to be coming against these guys that are that are walking around at 82 kilograms anyway. So, and I never struggle, even when I get lighter, I never struggle. Actually, I actually perform
some
better.
Fucking monsters at ASW, isn't there? Shout out to ASW.
Shout out to Cam over there. One more question I've got for you for online is, you've just recently become a dad.
Okay.
How's that fitting in to training for being a professional fighter?
If I'm being honest, at this present moment, it's tough. Yeah. The balance is tough in terms of, because I'm a hands-on dad, you see, I'm somebody that takes it really serious. Yeah. I'm someone who wants to be involved, who doesn't want to miss out on anything. But at the same time, I'm very experienced in life, and especially as a fighter, and I know that my energy is very important. So at this present moment, when I say it's tough, it's because I want to do the night feeds.
Yeah.
I want to do it. I'm trying. I know. I'm trying.
Oh yeah, I do them. I don't like doing them.
Yeah.
Because he looks like a broken mum and I face.
The rough. I'm going to be honest with you. But what I'll say to you is I'll balance it. Yeah. If I feel like my training is taking a hit, then I'll balance it. Don't worry. I live in a, you know, we've got a guest bedroom upstairs, so I can stay in there if I need to catch some extra hours. So it's fine. We've got everything on order. But yeah, just being a father is something that for me is like a major blessing, man. I've, you know, come from a life where my father was never there for me. My dad was never there for me. He never supported me and my mum whatsoever. Shout out to Helen Musa, because she raised me and Tasha. She raised us well. You know, a single parent, she did really, really well to give us everything that we needed. But it just in terms of myself, I never had like a male role model. In my house, you know, my uncle Anthony, you know, love my uncle. He's always been there for me in that respect, but he's not my dad, and he's not, it's different to having someone with you all the time. And your dad, you just as a young man, you'll know when your dad comes, it's a different feeling that you get. And I just know what it's like to not have a dad and not have that person. I used to always find myself yearning to create bonds with my friends' dads.
Yeah,
or my friends' big brothers.
It's boys you've got as well,
isn't
I've
it? Got three boys, yeah. So
All the same age.
Absolute
blessing.
Oh. 13 years, he's in for a ride.
Yeah, but we're ready for it. We're ready for it. And this is why we've done what I say, is that I will never allow them to feel what I felt. So like I said to you, I'm just loving it. I'm so blessed. You know, we lost my granddad. And I feel like, well, I know that my granddad, you know, he sent these boys to me to give me the blessing to make sure that they're going to come up, and they're all Moosas. So it's just added to the family and onwards and upwards now. I just look very, I'm looking to the future all the time. When I look at them, I'm just thinking like, right, as soon as I start delving into the characters and the personalities, and I understand who's what and where what, and I can push them and point them in the right direction for what path and lane I feel like they're best suited for me being a parent, is not trying to get them to do what you want them to do, but get them to do what they're great at naturally. Because when we say about fighting, we say hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work harder. So if you have children and you find out what they're naturally good at, some kids are naturally good at football, some kids are naturally good at acting, you know, some kids are naturally good at fighting. So I will have time spent with these boys, and I will find out what areas they are naturally blessed at, and I will try and hone them into that, because I believe if I give them a regimented focus onto what it is they're great at, then, you know, the percentage of them being great and taking the family name
three
to higher heights.
How old yours? Fuck as
of
well.
Of course.
Jay's 13.
Wow.
Blake's 7 months.
So 13, how old were you when you had
22.
Yeah. 22. And how
I'm slacking me, you know. Nah. I'm just so behind.
Nah, you
30
don't.
This year, mate.
I don't think it is.
Shout out to the women out there.
All the ladies out there.
Win PFL. Walk around Manchester with a million.
With that million. They'll be knocking at his door.
Don't think you'll
they'll come out
then.
The woodwork, then, won't they?
They'll pop straight up.
Jesus Christ.
But how did you find being a father at 22? Because that's
I missed
that's
the first 2 years of Jay's. Out of the first 2 years of Jay's life, I spent 18 months in Afghanistan and Iraq.
Right, okay. Right,
so
right.
That's its own challenge.
Of course.
I didn't know him.
Okay.
I didn't know him. I only knew the flashes that I had of him. And then when I left, he was like two. And then I started to get to know him.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you miss a lot. I'm certainly seeing stuff with my daughter now being 7 months that I wasn't seeing the experience with him.
Yeah, of course.
But I think that, in a way, I would have preferred it to be that way round than miss 2 years now.
Of course, listen, you're at work, mate. You had to bring bread to the table. That's what you had to do.
You had to do it. But what you can't help and thing is, as a parent, as a father, as a loving parent, is you know you have these little things where you know I want to be around the boys as much as possible. Do you understand?
Every step of the way.
Yeah. But I understand. Based on my career choices and my life situation, it might not always necessarily be that easy.
You can be unemployed and be there all the time.
Of course.
But that's not going to get the best
life
for us.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, I think the best pits is about, after about a year or so, when the personality starts coming in, and they're all going to be totally different.
Of course, 100%.
You're going to have an absolute headache with three.
I'm ready for them.
In one hit, you know.
I'm ready for them, though, you know.
Me and him used to say to each other, wow, fucking hell, what's going to happen here? We're never going to have kids. And he went like, boom!
What's the night feed look like? Because about one wakes up and you're like, all right, let's just deal with this.
Well, listen, let me tell you something right now, I'll be honest with you. Last night, Akirimi was, he was on one last night, mate. He was like every 2 hours, every hour and a half, he was just popping up. But what happens is when his mum puts him down, she can get him down. But with me, for some reason, he likes to pop up for his feed and then he doesn't want to go to sleep. It's like he knows it's me and he wants to just mess about. So then I'm there rocking him for another hour.
Knowing you've got training in the morning.
Knowing that I've got training in the morning, thinking,
not now, please.
It's crazy though, because I'll go through a mad rush of, like, frustration, and then I'll end up kissing him on his head.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Can't be mad at
it's
him.
Mad. It's just, like I'm saying to you, it's the best feeling.
Well, the MMA podcast took a bit of a diversion today, but it's real life.
This is MMA fighters' lives. This is MMA fighters' lives, man.
Let's just go back to this weekend, though. Quick time.
Let's get in it.
Feeling it right.
Nate Diaz.
A lot of the cards.
Anthony Pettis. Who have you got?
Quite not exciting.
Yeah, it is, mate.
No, a lot.
Wait, hold up. I know a fight you're gonna know. How about your Romero?
Oh yeah,
and Paulo Costa.
Talking up the top. That's them first three fights on the card.
Unbelievable.
Yep.
It's this down here that.
Who cares?
Who watches
that anyway?
I'm not really interested.
We're tuning in at 3 a.m.
Exactly. The thing is, out a night out. 3 a.m.
For me, sometimes the odd time I jump into the prospects that are coming up in the rankings or whatever. But at this present moment in time in life, I haven't got enough time. So I'm watching the fighters that I love to that I like to watch. Yoel Romero is one of my favorite fighters.
Me too. Paulo Costa. I mean,
wow.
This is
two animals.
Mr.
No, monster.
Absolute. You know what? Shout out to Yoel Romero. Just got awarded $21 million for a tainted supplement, and he's still getting back in there to fight the hardest fight you can find.
21
Respect
million.
To him. So there's $21 million in his bank now, and he still gets up every day.
Unbelievable.
And obviously Paulo not Costa, money motivated.
Paulo Costa is not the fight you're picking.
Nah.
If you're like, just I'll have a fight.
Animal.
He's a monster.
Absolute.
How's this going down?
In my eyes, Yoel Romero, too experienced, wrestling too good. The age is not on his side, though. 40-odd.
Doesn't always come to wrestle for such a decorated wrestler.
I know,
he doesn't always come to wrestle.
He just likes to have it. But he's like, all he does, mental explosion then.
And then goes back down. But what he's been able to demonstrate now, is that he's actually got the consistency of energy now, because you've seen him fight Whitaker twice, and they've been
five rounds.
Been the distance.
Yeah.
So he's a distance fighter now. I just feel like Costa can. It's just one of them fights.
Savage. 12 KOs.
Yeah, he's a monster.
12-0, I think.
He plants his feet, and I swear to God, he's coming there to take your chin clean off.
Savage mode.
About. So that's a good fight. That's probably my fight. That's my fight of the night.
I'm going to put myself out there and say Stipe beats Cormier. I think Stipe beats Cormier.
I was going to do this in order, but if
no, I watched the first
main event.
I watched the first fight back last week.
He clips him,
and he was all over him until that knockout. And I think Stipe's gone away now. He's got that hunger. He's not been given another fight. He's been left on the sideline. He's not been getting the love that he should have got.
Fair play.
And he's probably gone home.
Out for that as well.
Who's Stipe?
Yeah, of course. He was like, go get other fights. And he was like,
he's not. He can't. Listen, let me explain something to you about Cormier, bro. Yeah, I was watching it. I've been watching him for this geese. He's not playing games. He doesn't. He's just not got it in my eyes.
You're taking DC.
I'm going DC. Romero.
I'm going Stipe. And I'm going, Yoel Romero. And I'm also going with Anthony Pettis.
Shit, man.
Are we all different on this one? Are you going?
You've got to pick one of Yoel Romero.
Yeah.
I'm going with DC. But I know what you're saying about Stipe was doing well in that.
He's going to be an underdog as well, Stipe, man. If you want to win some money on bets.
My betting preview on...
He is going to be the underdog.
He's going to be the underdog.
So put some dough on him.
Friday. In fact, for the Pizza Club later, we'll be doing my UFC picks. But... this welterweight fight. Anthony Pettis at welterweight, Nate Diaz at welterweight.
Lovely. There's a lot of weight difference
in those two.
Yeah, I just feel like... I feel like Pettis takes it. I feel like his striking's too crisp, is too clean and too sharp.
Yeah.
Speed's what I thought.
Yeah, speed. This is where
activity. You can't sit on the fence for 3 years in this sport. You can't do it.
Active.
And it's not like he's been chilling, partying like for 3 years, mate. Do you know how long that is in MMA? Anthony Pettis has been regular fighting against the best.
Nate loves
it,
old man.
Loves it. Savage. He'll go in there and he'll still have it today.
Smoking bud high as fuck.
Every day, all day.
Did you see the quote from him yesterday? I'm going to butcher it, but it was something along the lines of, do you think you're, who do you think the best welterweight in the world is, or something like that? And he was like, chatting to you. And then he goes, do you think you're any better? Do you think you're better than Khabib and Kamaru? And he was like, no, but I'm cooler, aren't I?
Exactly.
No, but he is.
He's a cool customer, man. He's cool.
I love his style.
So that's going to be a good card.
I think you've got to go with Pettis. I mean, his only losses there, Poirier, Holloway, and Tony Ferguson.
Come on. And that Ferguson fight was absolutely... sick.
He's got heart.
He's got heart. I've got so much love for Pettis.
And you know, the thing is with him as well, he's staying at he's up now.
It's the same thing, yeah. So this is a guy, I think he's fought all the way at 45, man. He's definitely fought.
But Diaz is cardio, though. If he wears you down, them fourth and fifths when he come alive.
True that. And you know what? The only issue with Pettis is he is an explosive fighter.
No.
Even though he likes to put a lot of explosion in. So it's in them latter rounds where you do see people start to come on top of him.
What a card. Three absolutely unbelievable fights, then.
I think a lot of people are sleeping on Pettis because of that little run he went on. Losing to Dos Anjos, losing to Eddie Alvarez, losing to Edson Barbosa.
Yeah, but
he reinvented himself. I feel like he's come back. I feel like when you've been fighting, what you got to understand is when you've been fighting for this long.
I know, man.
You can't super consistent. Look at George St. Pierre, he's out. He got off. Yeah, he's had enough. He's packed it in.
It's a very hard life.
Do you understand what I'm saying to you? So that time there where you're saying where Pettis has had his downtime, it might have just been that time in his life where his head weren't fully in the game.
It's not a bad win, that is it?
It's been 4 years since Diaz fought someone who wasn't Conor McGregor.
Michael Johnson.
Just two Conor McGregor fights and then, I mean, really, if you start and look at... when was the last time he had a streak, really, that didn't include that? You're looking at 7 years.
Nah, he's had an inconsistent...
2011's last time.
That's once again, it just falls...
Never took to Nate, me.
You don't like him?
Not as a fighter.
As a fighter. I don't think... I feel like what he is somebody who... he sits in that mid-range as a fighter.
Like,
you know,
he's
just a gatekeeper, bro. That's what he...
But I'm talking about entertainment value.
Entertainment value. Listen, he's in the top ranks.
Yeah.
He came up against Conor and you've seen that. He matched Conor for personality and verbal. You know, he had no issue.
And then had a sick fight.
He didn't get fazed by anything that Conor was saying. And he come and laid it down. So
I've just been called while I was on a yacht drinking tequila and I've jumped off and jumped in with Connor and beat him.
You know what I'm saying?
Gangster shit.
He wasn't wrong.
That is gang.
I don't think he gets nervous.
And then his second fight,
top five fights.
What about his in cage interview after it? I'm not surprised, motherfucker.
Yeah, everyone else thought, yeah, wow, he's actually there. I'm not surprised, motherfucker.
You know what I'm saying? So you legendary. Can't match him for character, man.
Right, and on that note, I think we're going to call it a day. Thank you to Kate for joining us.
Shout out to everybody.
Wish you good luck.
Thank you for you guys for having
we're
going
to be with you all the way through anyway.
Let's go. Let's do it.
And I guess we will see you guys next week. We will be back tomorrow with the news, and we've also got the preview on Friday, and then we are live for UFC 241 Saturday night, well, Sunday morning, 3 a.m. If you're in the UK, we will see you there. Laters.
Peace out.